There are different ways in which we can advocate for accountability and transparency that does not require us to defund the situation. And I respect Carlos's passion in that way, but I think sometimes you put your ideology in front of the actual needs.
I think it's about values. It's about who you're working for and the things that you're doing, who you represent and the people who are supporting you.
I can go and talk to all the people around the city, which I've done for years, about these issues. But you also need someone who will come in and actually bring fresh ones of their own to the council. Just saying that we're going to continue doing the things we've been doing is not enough.
It has been public safety, the homelessness and home affordability, and we're also hearing a great deal from people about water and where we stand with water. We're in a desert, and there's been a host of issues surrounding that.
On March 14th, residents of two Phoenix council districts get to vote once again for their council members. No one won in the November election for districts 8 or 6. So now, these districts are headed to a runoff that could potentially shift the council towards the center. Welcome to The Gaggle, a politics podcast by the Arizona Republic and azcentral.com. I'm Mary Jo Pitzel. I cover state politics. Each week, we speak with reporters, experts, and politicians about the issues that make a difference for you. My colleague Ron Hansen is out this week. But joining us today on the show, for her first time, is Arizona Republic reporter Taylor Seeley. Taylor covers Phoenix City Hall and is covering the runoff elections in Districts 6 and 8. Taylor, welcome to The Gaggle.
Thank you for having me. I'm both excited and nervous as a former producer of this show. I can't believe I'm on this side of the microphone.
Let's start by giving us a sense of, you know, where are these districts? What parts of town do Districts 6 and 8 represent?
District 6 includes part of the North Central Corridor, has the Biltmore area, Ahwatukee, Arcadia. And then, you know, it's a very oddly shaped district. District 8 is mostly South Phoenix. It has some parts of downtown Phoenix and then this like little chunk of Phoenix that's just east of downtown.
And both of these races have interesting backstories and the results in the runoff elections could change the look of the council. So let's start with looking at District 6, along the domain of Councilman Sal DeCiccio, who is finally term limited. Who will residents see on their ballot March 14th?
Yeah, so Councilman Sal DeCiccio has been on the council off and on for, I think, almost 20 years, not consecutively. But running to replace him is Sam Stone, who is DeCiccio's former chief of staff. He's also the former policy advisor to Carrie Lake. And on his own, he is a politics podcast and radio show host and consultant. On the other side is Kevin Robinson. Robinson is probably most known for his 36-year history with the Phoenix Police Department. He worked his way up from being, you know, an entry-level officer to joining the investigative team, and then he worked his way to an assistant police chief. He was the spokesman for a bit. He has the backing of Mayor Kate Gallego. So Sam Stone versus Kevin Robinson in District 6.
Okay, and what about the lineup in District 8?
So District 8, you have Councilman Carlos Garcia. He was elected in 2019. He is going up for re-election. Technically, it's going to be his first term. 2019 was filling the spot of former Councilwoman Kate Gallego, who then vacated the seat to run for mayor. And then you have Keisha Hodge-Washington. She's an attorney from Levine who is trying to challenge Garcia.
Going back then to District 6, Sam Stone and Kevin Robinson, as you mentioned, are very different types of candidates. What's the difference there? Is it about policy? Is it character? What sets them apart from each other?
I think there is a lot that separates these candidates. I recently went to a debate where the two kind of pitched themselves to voters, and they really emphasized different themes. For Sam Stone, he has his motto of policy over platitudes. You throw a potential problem at him and he'll have anywhere from 2 to 5 specific detailed ideas on what he thinks the city should do to fix the problem. He also has a reputation for being sort of a firebrand on Twitter. He has some tweets that are, let's just say, not the most respectful, you know, pretty degrading, actually, and he's caught a lot of flack for that. Then on the other hand, you have Kevin Robinson, who in this debate pitched himself as essentially the exact opposite of Sam Stone. He really told voters, this is a race about character. This is someone that you want to know at the end of the day. Your council member is going to represent not only you, but all council members, regardless of what you may look like, what you may believe. And I am the person to do that over Sam Stone. And he actually asked voters to go online and look at their Twitter personas to compare.
Oh, wow. Voting decisions made by Twitter. What fun. But it sounds like that Robinson is more of a consensus kind of candidate from the way he's described his approach to policy. Has he nailed down any topics that he has a firm stance on or goals that he specifically wants to achieve? And how does that contrast with what Stone has put out there?
Yeah, I think that's an important point. With Robinson, I definitely think he has a sort of formula when he's given a problem or an issue that the city's trying to navigate right now. He tends to kind of take a step back and say, well, you know, I really don't want to get ahead of myself. I need to talk to the subject matter experts. I want to involve the neighborhood groups. I really want to hear from all sides of the aisle. That's what he likes to emphasize. And then from there, I will help everyone come to a common ground. Like, that's what I'm known for. I've done that and at the Phoenix Police Department. I'm your guy. And in doing so, I think that that's really appealing. In fact, I went to a door knock with him, and a lot of voters, I think, really resonated with that type of messaging. At the same time, I had to press him. I said, okay, Mr. Robinson, you've done your homework. Where do you stand on some of these issues? And so in pushing him a little, he was able to give me some specifics. With the Phoenix Police Department, for example, he really wants to hire more officers. With the fire department, he thinks it's very important to get more fire stations. He really wants to work on hiring and recruiting for public safety. And then, of course, on his website, you know, he'll say affordable housing and water are his most important priorities.
And what about Stone? Are there areas that he's identified, or is he also out there talking to people and looking for consensus?
Stone has identified homelessness, housing, and police public safety as his top issues. For example, on public safety, he really wants to drill down on more support for police officers. He really wants to work on the council being more friendly to the police. I think he thinks that that will help morale and help recruit and retain police officers. With affordable housing, homelessness, he also has pretty specific approaches. He'll bring up specific regulations. Like he says, water heaters, for example. City code, I guess, says that they have to be in a closet. And he says that that code requires apartments add square footage to the apartment to handle the water heaters, and that by default then makes the apartments bigger and more expensive. To be fully clear, I am still trying to find this policy. He has told me it's part of the fire code. I still need to look into it. But that's, for example, one detailed idea he has on affordability. When he was the policy director for Kerry Lake, he pitched a rental sales tax cut. That was really controversial, of course, for cities who rely on that to fund different areas of their operations, like policing. I think it's more impactful to smaller cities than Phoenix, but nonetheless, Phoenix was also against that idea. With homelessness, he says that there should be a service-first approach. So he thinks that the city should not be necessarily housing everyone or housing everyone first, that they should be giving out services and then housing can come later.
And we should note to listeners that on the rental tax, Governor Hobbs just last week vetoed a bill that would have eliminated that rental tax. She made mention that the potential harm to city coffers in doing that. But now let's go look at District 8. What are the dividing lines between those candidates, and are they talking about different things than their colleagues up in District 6?
District 8 is definitely a different beast than District 6. I think the issue, the most popular conversation point in the race between Keisha Hodge Washington and Carlos Garcia, is policing. Obviously, Carlos Garcia, a former immigrants' rights activist who was known for protesting against Sheriff Joe Arpaio, against SB 1070, against police brutality, he has a reputation for being very critical of police misconduct and wanting more accountability for them. So I think this time around, it's kind of the most obvious thing to go to, and Keisha definitely has made a point to differentiate herself from Garcia on policing. She likes to say that she's not pro-police. She is just simply someone who says police are here. They serve a purpose. We should be able to call on them and they're responsive. They should be able to protect everyone and treat everyone the same. So it's just a different approach to it than Garcia.
Now, besides issues, these elections are also known for personality differences, you know, biography differences between the candidates. And that came up a lot in District 6, even before the November election, with Kevin Robinson's residence being a point of contention. And other candidates have issues with their opponents' personal backgrounds. So talk a little bit about some of these issues that are driving questions about character among these candidates.
Well, for District 6, again, Sam Stone is affiliated with Carrie Lake. He was her former policy advisor, and he gets a lot of questions over that from people who definitely didn't like Carrie Lake, and they say, you know, we don't like Carrie Lake. Why would we like you? And for his part in the debate, he says, well, my contract with Carrie Lake ended. I'm not Carrie Lake. At the same time, he tells voters, I got on board with Carrie Lake because she agreed to take 100% of my ideas on homelessness, on the rental tax, and on a workforce program. So while they're not the same people, they do have a lot of the same ideas because, well, he was her policy director. And so just inherently, people are going to take with that what they will. That's controversial. And then, of course, we talked about it a little bit, but you go to his Twitter page and he certainly has made disparaging remarks. I think in particular, the one that gets the most recognition is a tweet he made about a female White House reporter who was asking President Biden some questions. He thought they were pretty softball questions. So he made a very sexually degrading remark about the woman. And I think that is very off-putting to voters. And that's certainly something that Kevin Robinson has leveraged in his pitches to voters, is that really someone you want representing you?
What are some of the character issues that differentiate Carlos Garcia from Keisha Hodge Washington?
I think the character differences between those two is probably not as stark as in District 6, but what kind of gets repeated in that race is, at least from Keisha Hodge Washington's end, you know, she really says you can't be monolithic as a council member. You can't focus on one segment of people or one particular issue. And she certainly alleges that Carlos Garcia focuses too heavily, perhaps only on policing. He definitely fights back against that. At the recent debate that our own Arizona Republic editorial board hosted, he said, in my 3.5 years on council, I've probably had 5 or 6 votes on policing. So is it an issue that's important to me? Yes. Do I want accountability? Yes. But it's not my only issue. And in fact, later in the debate, he told voters housing was his top priority.
You know, these two races have more on the line than just who gets elected to serve on the council. Depending on the results, history could be made in Arizona. Tell us what the potential historic markers are here.
Phoenix has only ever elected a Black city council member from South Phoenix, from the District 8. This election, if Kevin Robinson wins in District 6, he'll be the first Black council member elected outside of South Phoenix. And if both Kevin and Keisha Hodge Washington win, there will be 2 Black city council members on the 9-member board. And that has never happened in Phoenix.
Wow. 5th largest city in the nation. Yeah. And what about politically? I know that the council races are nonpartisan, but there's usually a thinly veiled partisan sheen to these races.
Right, right. I know it's technically nonpartisan, but everyone always knows the political affiliation of the council member. And it's certainly something they even tout on the campaign trail. with DeCiccio's seat, for example, DeCiccio certainly has a reputation for being a very vocal Republican. He likes to be prominent in that way. And if he is replaced by Kevin Robinson, for example, Robinson is an independent. So you'll kind of see the council go from three Republicans to two, and those two being Jim Waring and Councilwoman Ann O'Brien. Ann O'Brien is not the most vocal. She's certainly not a Sal DeCiccio-style Republican on the council. So again, I write about this all the time in the articles. It's really a shift to the center. And same with the District 8 race. If Carlos Garcia is put out, he really pushes for very left-leaning progressive issues. And if you see him replaced by Keisha Hodge Washington, someone who stresses a more what she calls comprehensive approach, not so unreasonable, I think she would say. Again, it's just further shifting to just middle ground.
It also strikes me that this could be the council's currently dominated by women, that this could tip the balance even more to the female side of the equation.
You know, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. That is true. At the same time, you have three female council members right now who are mulling a run for Congress. Council members Yasemin Ansari, Laura Pastor, and Betty Guardado have all, you know, not necessarily said I am running, but they certainly haven't ruled it out. And so if you see them run, that's potentially three women lost on the council and never-ending election coverage from me.
That's what I was going to say. You have just scripted your future there, Taylor.
Yeah.
A little more on the race in terms of like fundraising. Is there anybody that's out there sort of, you know, breaking the bank on the money that they're bringing to the race? How's the funding size up?
In District 8, for example, Carlos and Keisha are pretty close, like neck and neck for the most part. Keisha did outraise him, according to the last reports filed, by I think $20,000. But again, not a huge difference. At the same time, as someone who's challenging the incumbent, that's noteworthy. And then in the other race, I think is where you see like a major difference. It's kind of like David versus Goliath type of thing, just in terms of fundraising. I mean, where Kevin Robinson, I think, has like over $600,000 that he's raised and spent much of that, whereas Sam Stone has about a fifth of that. So major fundraising disparity there. And fundraising doesn't necessarily mean either candidate will win or lose, but typically tends to be a good indication of how much support they have.
To wrap it up here, I want to get a sense of where's the mayor on this? Kate Gallego usually is not shy about sharing where she stands on issues.
Yeah, Mayor Kate Gallego has not been shy in this race. She has endorsed both Kevin Robinson in District 6 and Keisha Hodge Washington in District 8. With Kevin Robinson, this is actually someone that she called up and said, hey, DeCiccio is going to be out. Will you run? And he agreed. You know, the way he tells it to me, he was not totally sure, brought it to his wife, brought it to his kids, had a conversation and said, you know, I think I'd be good at it. I think I could bring consensus. I think I can really affect positive change. And so I'm going to run. And it's certainly been a point of criticism from people who aren't big fans of Kate Gallego, saying, you know, she's playing a pretty heavy role in the election and questioning whether she should. In District 8, she came out for Keisha Hodge Washington once Keisha made it through November and hit the runoff, and she came out and endorsed. And I've talked to both the mayor and Carlos Garcia about that. For the mayor, she's saying, you know, well, look at Keisha. She's very qualified. She's bright. She's going to be a great candidate. And Carlos had told me, you know, I was kind of curious where the mayor was standing. I kind of figured she was going to go for my opponent. And then when she actually did, it was sort of like a relief of, okay, now I know you're not going with me. And he wasn't happy about it. You know, for him, he was saying, well, there's a Republican in District 2 in Jim Waring that was up for election. Why not support his opponent? Jim Waring has handily won many of his elections, so that might have something to do with it. But yeah, Mayor Kate Gallego certainly has a lot to gain in this election. If she gets both Kevin and Keisha, she's going to have a pretty solid majority.
And it sounds like from what you've been telling us all along, those changes would move the council more towards the center than where they are now.
Right. I mean, I think it's interesting. The mayor, you know, when she ran or mayor, was getting a lot of flack over whether she was too extreme, whether she was too liberal. And she tells me, I am and always have been supportive of the police, and I'm not shifting to the center. This is who I've always been. So if anyone sees it as me changing, they're simply wrong and they weren't paying attention. So I think she's really trying to kind of establish that brand for herself, that she's someone who's what she would say reasonable and moderate.
So before we let you go, Taylor, can you tell us how people can vote in the election and where they might be able to find more information about the candidates?
For this election, voters should have already received their ballots in the mail. You got to put them in the mail at least by March 7th. If you don't do that, then you need to go in person and drop it off. You can vote early in person at Phoenix City Hall until March 10th on the 15th floor. You can also drop your early ballots off March 11th, 13th, or 14th.
Well, Taylor, thanks so much for being on The Gaggle. If people want to follow you on Twitter, where can they find you?
Thank you for having me. It was very, very fun. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Taylor Seely 95. TaylorSeely 95.
Well, that's it for this week, Gaggle listeners. For more information on the runoff election, you can read Taylor's work on azcentral.com. Also, we will have a bonus episode of The Gaggle this week with the full District 6 and District 8 debates for you to hear. And if you like the show, please leave us a review and share it with a friend. You can follow me on Twitter at Mary J. Pitzel. That's P-I-T-Z-L. Today's episode was edited and produced by Amanda Luberto with help from Kaylee Monahan. You can follow her at Amanda Luberto, L-U-B-E-R-T-O. Thanks for listening to The Gaggle, a podcast from the Arizona Republic and azcentral.com. We'll see you next week.